Reading from Psalm 84. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. My soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near your altar. Lord Almighty, my King and my God, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. Blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. Hear my prayer, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favour on your anointed one. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favour and honour. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you.
For those of you who have not met Christine Hadfield before, this is Christine. Mm-hmm. She's part of our 530 congregation. She's preached here a number of times, a graduate of SNBC, and I'm really looking forward to what you're going to share. So thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. Will you just pray with me as we prepare our hearts to receive God, hear from God? Father, thank you that you want to meet with each one of us today. We open our hearts now and we invite you to speak to us. Amen. So this is a deep thought, but come along with me in this. Have you ever considered the question, why are we here? Why is the Earth on a 23.5 degree angle orbiting the sun at 30 kilometres per second? Why are there birds singing across the sky joyously songs to one another? Why is the Earth, the water, travelling the complex cycle of evaporation and condensation and precipitation, and then down into mountains and then creeks and then into rivers and oceans? Why do we have families and communities and countries and rulers and businesses and schools and food and life and nature? Why is it all here? Why are we intricately made, thinking, creative, breathing creatures here? It is all here. Every elaborate pattern on the wing of a dragonfly and every tiny pore in our skin. God made this all. God created us because he delights to have relationship with us. Not that God needed us. As a communion of three persons, God was never alone and lonely. He is complete within himself. But he delights to sustain the world all in order to give us relationship with him. The psalmist in Psalm 8 is staggered by this. He says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? And this is incredible. And it begs us to ask the question, how can we live fully in the relationship that we were created for? And respond to God's loving initiative towards us. How can we live fully in the relationship that we were created for and respond to God's loving initiative towards us? God has given us a way, and that way is through prayer. As a church, we are in a series looking at spiritual rhythms or unforced rhythms of grace, which draw us closer to God. And as we're drawn closer to God, these transform us. And today we'll be focusing on prayer, And which really is the centre and the aim of all spiritual rhythms or practices. The disciples approached Jesus and they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Brought up with the Old Testament scriptures and surrounded by synagogues and teachers of the law, the disciples would have known how to pray. They would have seen it practiced plenty in the society around them and would have prayed a fair amount themselves. The reason they asked Jesus how to pray was because they saw something different in the way he prayed. They witnessed a deep and a profound and powerful relationship between the Son and the Father, and they wanted in. And so the disciples' question, Lord, teach us how to pray, is the same as our question today. How can we live fully in the relationship that we were made for, created for, and respond to God's loving initiative towards us? Many of us have prayed. We've seen others pray. We know how to pray. But how can we, like the disciples, have in into the type of relationship that we see between the Father and the Son? Well, there are three invitations that we are going to look at today to answer our question. So how can we live fully in the relationship that we were made for and respond to God's loving initiative towards us? Well, the first invitation is to delight in prayer as a gift. The psalmist in our reading today is overwhelmed by the gift of prayer. It is a gift because through prayer, God invites us, lowly, sinful creatures though we are, to enter his holy and untouchable and wonderful presence. The psalmist in our psalm declares, "How beloved or how lovely is your dwelling place, O Lord Almighty." And the psalmist explains just how overwhelmed they are by this gift of prayer. They say, "My soul yearns, even faints." In Hebrew, the word for faints here has the idea of being overwhelmed to the end of oneself. So their soul yearns and even is maybe consumed is the better word. Their soul is consumed. And what is their soul consumed by? Consumed by longing for the dwelling place of the Lord. Not only their soul, but they continue their heart and their flesh cries out for the living God. This psalmist's entire being, their heart, their soul, their mind, their body. I don't know if this reminds you of any particular greatest commandment in the Bible to love God. All of them loves and is overwhelmed by and yearns for the presence of God. In verse 11 of the psalmist exclaims, "Better is one day in your presence than 1,000 elsewhere." I would rather choose to be on the threshold or in the doorway. They're not even inside. They would rather be on the porch looking in through the front door. Rather be looking in to the presence of God than to dwell elsewhere. And it's not some mystical presence that the psalmist delights in, but a person. If you read any story in the Bible of someone who walked closely with God, Abraham, Moses, David, Jesus, you straight away say that these people had a close, personal relationship with God. They knew God and were known by God. They walked with him and talked with him. So the invitation is to delight in God's presence, to delight in prayer as a gift. To delight in prayer as a gift and not as a duty. As a child, when I was around 8 years old, I remember I would pray in my head every 20 seconds, "God, I love you, in Jesus' name, amen. God, I love you, in Jesus' name, amen." It had become literally a habit like breathing. And I didn't keep praying this all the time because I loved God so much I couldn't stop telling him. I prayed this because I was trying to obey the command to pray continuously, afraid that if I stopped praying this, God would not approve of me, or worse, would reject me. You see, if we don't know God's character, our prayers will be driven by fear. Instead of seeing prayer as a gift, we will see it as a duty or an obligation. In the Bible, the command that is repeated the most throughout it is, "Do not fear." prayer should never need to come from a place of fear. And the second most repeated command throughout the Bible is to remember both of these are connected. Because as we ponder God's goodness in our past and in our present and in what we know and what we have read in the scripture, then we will know that we do not need to fear for our future. We will know that what he has promised in the Bible is true, like what Steve shared today. We will know that he is faithful and that he is for us and that he is good, that he is trustworthy, that his plan is to prosper us and not to harm us. We will know that he loves us. And prayer becomes a wonderful gift. And we discover we can take anything to God in prayer, literally anything. He wants to hear it all. We discover that we can walk through fire and he will walk through it with us and we won't get burnt. That he is our advocate. He is able to calm the storms inside of us. He gives us hope and he answers our prayers. And we fall in love with the one who first loved us. Not like my child self where I kept telling God I loved him out of fear and obligation, but actually fall in love with him. So the invitation is to delight in God's presence. The psalmist declares at the end of our psalm, Lord Almighty, blessed. Anyway, at the end of the psalm, there it is. Lord Almighty, blessed. So not only a gift, but blessed is the one who trusts in you. And some suggest that a better translation for the word trust or believe in the Bible could be relaxes into. And so then the psalmist says, Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who relaxes into you. So how can we live fully in the relationship we were made for and respond to God's loving initiative towards us? By delighting in prayer as a gift. The second invitation is to be present with God who is always present with us. God is always present with us. In Psalm 139, the psalmist asks, where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? And the psalmist concludes, nowhere. Wherever they go, God will be there. And Jesus promised us this. He said, and I am with you always to the very end of the age. God is always present with us. We always have God's undivided attention. He always wants to speak and always wants our company. I was walking through my neighborhood the other day. My mind was busy with thoughts and I hardly noticed where I was. I suddenly became aware of the deafening noise the cicadas were making around me. It was so loud that I had to start walking faster because it was getting unbearable. The funny thing was, a moment earlier, I couldn't even hear the cicadas. And it wasn't that the cicadas weren't making their ear-piercing noise before. I couldn't hear them simply because I wasn't paying them attention. We always have God's undivided attention. But how often does God have ours? Before Moses became a leader of God's people Israel, he fled from Egypt and lived as a shepherd in the desert wilderness of Midian for a number of years. One time, while he was tending flock, he saw a bush on fire. Now, this would have been a pretty normal sight in a hot desert climate. Random combustion would have been normal. But what was strange about this bush was that though it was on fire, the plant itself did not burn up. And so Moses went over to have a closer look at this strange sight. And listen to what scripture says next. And when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him. And when the Lord saw that Moses had turned aside to see, God called to him. what might God be using to try and catch our attention? What out of the ordinary burning bushes or ear splitting noisy cicadas might he be willing us to turn aside to see so that he can speak to us? Sometimes the very things that we think are a distraction may be God speaking to us, inviting us. I mean, prayer is on God's terms, not our terms. And so maybe the way we are seeking him might not be the way he is seeking us. For example, I might sit down to read my Bible, but my mind is preoccupied. I might be thinking about something someone said or did, or I might be thinking about a massive task I have at work, or I might be distracted because I'm excited for a holiday or a big event. What if God was bringing this thing to the front of my mind because he wanted me to forgive that person? Or because he wanted to give me peace about that big task at work, that it was in his hands. Or maybe he wanted me to enjoy and anticipate that holiday or a big event and spend that time praising him for his good gifts. There can be a whole manner of things that we think are distracting us that really are God's gentle invitations. Songs in our heads, verses, pictures, memories, smells, feelings, agitation even, tiredness, dreams, imagination, blockages in our attempts to do things, even random observations in the room we're in. All of these burning bushes, invitations. God saying, I want to help you see why you're agitated and work through this with you and free you from your agitation. Notice that book on the shelf? I want you to read it because there's something in there I want to tell you. I know you keep trying to pursue that path, but I'm blocking it because I have something better for you. These words in this song, they're for you. Take them to heart. The invitation is to make ourselves available, to let go of control of what we think prayer should look like, and to be open to what God wants to do and say. In a way, prayer is not something we do, but something that we respond to and join in on, to be present with God, who is always present with us. In Matthew 11, 28-30, in the Message version, Jesus gently invites us to do prayer his way. He asks, are you tired, worn out, burnt out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me, and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take a real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting on you. Keep company with me, and you will learn to live freely and lightly. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote a poem, Aurora Leigh, in 1856, and in it she said, "Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit around it and pluck blackberries." Earth is crammed with heaven, and every common bush afire with God. But only he who sees takes off his shoes. The rest sit round it and pluck blackberries. So how can we live fully in the relationship that we were made for and respond to God's loving initiative towards us? By delighting in prayer as a gift, and by being present with God, who is always present with us. The third invitation is to commune with God in our own heart language. At the beginning of this year, my sister and I went to check out a potential rental place up in Newcastle. After visiting the place, we debriefed and I said, oh, it was nice. And there were rails along the wall which you could hang your paintings on, and the floorboards are painted black, so you'll want to offset that with lighter colours. There's a door to your room. I don't know who installed that. It opened towards the wall and not towards the room, which is annoying to enter the room. Oh, I really like that plant in the hallway. As I was giving her my observations, my sister thought hard, but she couldn't remember, nor had she noticed any of these things that I mentioned. Meanwhile, this same sister will quote a whole sentence of what I have said to her in conversations probably 2 years ago, and I can't tell her, I didn't say that, because honestly, I couldn't even remember having had those conversations. You see, my sister and I are wired and have been made differently. I notice and observe my surroundings. She remembers our conversations. And so the way that we spend time with God will also look different. For me, I will notice the details in the petal of a flower and worship God for it. I'll constantly try new and creative ways to engage with God. I'll paint. Every journal entry has an intentionally different handwriting. I write out verses that stand out to me. My sister, on the other hand, her times with God looks like a 2 to 3 hour walk in solitude and early morning rises. To journal, she opens her diary to a random blank page, no sequence, and I don't understand it, and in a messy scrawl writes a heartfelt prayer. When I read the Bible, I tick off the Bible on each chapter on a reading plan, and when she reads the Bible, she doesn't have bookmarks and no reading plan. You see, we all have unique gifts and temperaments and personalities that God has given us. Some ways of praying will be and spending time with God will be life-giving for an introvert, but not life-giving for an extrovert. Some of us have more energy and gain more clarity of mind while doing two things at once or while exercising. I mean, Jesus hiked up mountains to pray. We need to start where we are. A man hassled a friend of mine because poetry just didn't click with him. This man called my friend as a joke, "You're a person with no soul." My friend, who was a mathematician, replied to him, "Ah, but have you ever been overwhelmed by the sheer beauty of an axiomatic system? See, if you're brought to life with music, then make music to the Lord. Listen to music. If you're brought to life studying commentaries, then study commentaries. If you're brought to life doing Mass, then let Mass be your way of worshipping God. There is no wrong way of spending time with God if we are engaging our time and our love and our energy with Him. God will commune with us in the ways and languages that we understand. That's why the Bible's in so many genres. We've got poetry in there and genealogies and written prose and stories. There is no hierarchy of holiness, no more holy way to spend time with God in prayer. And so the invitation is to commune with God in our own heart language. And these languages aren't stagnant. Try new things, even practices that you don't think of for you. You never know, you might enjoy solitude or painting or drawing. And these languages aren't stagnant. In one season, you may be a mother and you may not have time for a 2 to 3 hour walk and your only quiet time is in between those broken sleeps at night. Or in another season, you may have so much joy you can't sit down. You can only dance and sing. Or in another season, you may have to use other people's written words because you can't find the words yourself. Or in another season, you may not even have the emotional energy to do anything but to lament and cry to God. Just listen to your spirit and what God places on it in that time and space. There is always a place to meet with God. Always a language to meet with God. In our psalm today, the psalmist was longing to find their own dwelling place with God. They say, "My heart and my flesh cries out for the living God." And then they say, "Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself where she may have her young, a place near your altar, Lord Almighty, my King and my God. Blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you." Even the sparrow is able to find a place where it can dwell with God and sing God's praises. And it's blessed because it's found this place. So the invitation is to find our place with God, to find our own heart languages of communing in and delighting in God. So how can we live fully in the relationship that we were made for and respond to God's loving initiative towards us? There are three invitations. Delight in prayer as a gift. Be present with God, who is always present with us. And to commune with God in our own heart language. As I'm preaching a whole sermon on prayer, I want to allow time and space for us all to pray with God now. And the way I'm going to do this is I'm going to ask Jesus to minister to us, and then I'm going to lead us through a prayer exercise. In this exercise, I'm going to ask you questions and allow space for God to speak into those questions for you. These questions come from what we've talked about to help us see those burning bushes and to identify our heart languages in this season. So as we do, I just invite you to find a posture that helps you draw near to God. If it helps to have your eyes closed, close your eyes. And if it helps facing your palms up on your lap, you can do this. Just find whatever feels comfortable for you. Let's pray. Thank you, Jesus, that you are here in this room by your Spirit, present with us. We now choose to be present with you, Spirit of Jesus. God, like the disciples, we want to learn how to pray and to live fully in the relationship you made us for, in relationship with you. Please show us the burning bushes you have placed around us and help us find our own heart language to commune with you. So I'm going to invite you just to stay in the posture you're in as I lead us through this prayer exercise. I invite you to think back over your day yesterday. Whatever things you can remember of the day, don't stress if you can't remember everything. What you do remember, let it play out like a short movie in your mind. Now, as you play these events out from yesterday, notice your emotions, reactions, thoughts, actions, and motivations, anything that you may overlook. In your day yesterday, what brought you life? When did you notice the burning bushes and take off your shoes and respond in love, trust, or obedience? What languages did you use when you responded to Jesus? Just talk to Jesus about it. In your day yesterday, what drained or troubled or agitated you in that day? What burning bushes might you have missed that God might have been placing before you when you got busy plucking blackberries? When did you resist or avoid God? What languages were you using or not? What languages were you not using? Just talk to Jesus about it. And how will you be attentive to God's love today? What languages will you use to talk? Yeah, just talk to Jesus. Amen.